everyone. Welcome to the 22nd episode of Press X to Start. Today we're going to do something a little different. And I, Marcus Ellison, not Cameron Williams, though, as it's been alluded to, we might be the same person. So who really knows? But I'll be hosting today. So, Press X is a weekly podcast, as you know, where we discuss gaming news, reviews, and all things video games. Your hosts are myself, not Cameron Williams, or M. Avery Williams.
You said you said yourself, but you didn't say your name.
Exactly. Okay.
Charmed, I'm sure.
And DJ Harris.
Hey, neighbor.
Yeah.
Bringing it back.
Is that your Irish?
So is that going to be your gimmick? Or, like, you got to commit.
I'm still playing. I'm tickling it.
You're still messing around?
Yeah. Okay. We're not in a committed relationship.
By episode 40, you better figure it out, buddy. Oh, boy. As a reminder, all podcasts can be found on Podbean at pressxtostart.podbean.com, iTunes, and Google Play at pressxtostart. Also, if you want to join in the conversation, follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at PressX, the number 2, start. Also, you know, if you have the time or you want to be a little dear, give us a rating or a review at iTunes and just kind of give us a little feedback because every little bit counts. So, on today's episode, with what we were playing, we're going to be covering a little bit of Switch, a little bit of Destiny 2.
Whoop.
And a little smattering of Andromeda. I know you all are tired of hearing it, but there's a little bit in there. So, just to start out, Avery, what you been playing?
Okay, so, I was able to get my hands on a Nintendo Switch.
Well, aren't you lucky?
Yes. It was a weird turn of events. I had budgeted to buy a Switch for my birthday. Did not expect for one to show up so close to my birthday, and it did, so I'm down $500.
Oh, fun.
Yeah, the bundle.
Yeah, well, no, I think it's the bundle. I got the Pro Controller, the actual Switch with the base 300 gray one.
How about that base?
Pro Controller was $80. The Switch was about $300, and then a game, $60.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
So, oh, my God.
What game did you get?
Mario Kart 8.
Ah.
Mario Kart 8.
Okay.
I'll have to take back my copy of ARMS, but...
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, I'm of two minds with the Switch.
Mm-hmm.
I think because I'm playing Mario Kart 8, a game I've owned maybe three or four copies for Wii U. It's a weird thing,
right? Jeez,
yeah. And I love the game. It played great on the Switch. I'm using a Pro Controller. It's a little weird because I'm so used to playing Mario Kart 8 with the Wii U gamepad.
Uh-huh.
I'm using a Pro Controller, and the Pro Controller feels like a poor man's Xbox controller. That's a weird thing, but I'm loving the game. There's not much
to be expected.
But the big question is how I'm feeling about the Switch.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm of two minds. Had I not been the type of gamer that I am today,
mm-hmm.
in which I pick up systems for games rather than because I want to be in the ecosystem, I wouldn't have gotten the Switch because as a console, unless you want to play Nintendo games, Switch is not. It's not for you.
Right. Mm-hmm.
The games media love the Switch. Love it beyond its flaws.
Right.
And I think one of the reasons they love it is because they have a very different experience than sort of a traditional gamer who doesn't travel all over the place.
Exactly.
They travel on planes all over the place. Most of them rarely drive. They use Ubers and things like that. So they always have free time to game.
It's their lifestyle.
So would you say it's sort of akin to the Wii in the way that it is sort of catering toward the general consumer a little more?
No, because that's what I find interesting. Because
the opposite approach, where it's going towards a niche audience.
Oh, okay.
As the traveler person who likes to play games.
Yeah, it's clicking for them. Why they're seeing it's crazy because they're traveling all over the place. So having being able to play games on the go really appeals to them. But for me, a guy who if I'm at home, I want to play a console game.
Right.
I only want to play a handheld. If I want to play, my console's all over my house, I can easily just play them from bed. It's not even one of those things where, like, I'm going to take my Switch out of the dock and play it in bed. I'm comfortable. No, my bed is like a couple feet away from my TV. It's not that hard.
That Boston man that just,
It's weird, guys. And then, like, when I'm traveling, I'm driving.
Right.
So, like, I'm not playing Switch on the go.
Noob.
And then when I'm not traveling, I'm at work, and, like, I don't live in a games positive job. I don't have a games positive job where I can be sitting behind the counter playing Switch all day. No.
Yeah.
So, like, the travel aspect doesn't appeal to me, so it sits there on its dock. And as it sits there on its dock, it becomes very apparent to me that as a console, it sucks.
Would you say that it's sitting on the dock of the bay?
No.
I don't think you said that at all.
It's sitting on its dock being unimpressive compared to my PS4, which I spend all my time on. However, I bought it for Nintendo games. So like when Mario Plus Rabbids come out, or Mario
Odyssey
comes out, or Fire Emblem Warriors and a bunch of other Nintendo games I'm super excited for, like the new Pokemon, the new Metroid, all those games come out, I'll be like, this is great, because all those games are going to work perfectly on this.
Right.
Nothing else, though.
I actually had a brief encounter with the Switch maybe a month or so. Like, somebody had, I think, the handheld portion of the Switch.
Okay.
And they were playing the little, I guess, built-in, maybe not built-in games, but kind of like... how Wii had the Wii Boxing and the Wii Sports and all that stuff.
Oh, well, here's the thing about the Switch. It doesn't have built... Like, the Switch doesn't...
It's 1-2 Switch?
You're talking about 1-2 Switch. That's a full-price game that doesn't ship with the Switch, which I find bonkers.
Okay. Yeah, well, that was a bad move.
Yeah, so, like, they had the handheld port, and, you know, these people, I guess, technically weren't gamers like us, but they were having a gay old time, which made me wonder. That's why I asked you if it was akin to the Wii.
Well, it's one of those things where, like, all the Switch commercials were being mocked incessantly. Because, like, who's this Karen, and why is she going to a barbecue on the roof with her Switch? And then, like, you hear all these gaming press and media guys talk about it, and I'm like, yeah, we're all Karen. We take our Switches everywhere, and we do things like that. And I'm like, that doesn't, like, the only way that's not going to work. For me, because one of the reasons I don't want to take it out of the dock is because I don't like the small screen.
Right.
Especially when you want to play, like, those trailers when this first came out, it was like four people crawled around the Switch playing Mario Kart. I'm like, that is not appealing. The screen isn't that big.
Yeah.
I can easily plug into a dock, get it's not 1080. It's 900p. 900p.
Yeah.
Just from
900p.
It's pixels. Yeah. and on the big screen TV.
In your son.
I know what 900p is. It just sounds like.
In summation, I'm happy I got the Switch for the future of Nintendo games.
Right.
But I'm.
At the moment.
Yes. But I am not going to evangelize this console as everyone should get it. Everyone should find out a way to put every other game on Switch.
Fair enough.
Okay.
Okay.
Makes sense.
Well, this week I finally got around to beating Mass Effect Andromeda, half due to other things being in the way, and then half being kind of actually willing myself to do it. There's nothing really else to cover here.
We've talked about this.
The
irony is every time we want to talk further about Mass Effect, Cam isn't here to defend it.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's like, I mean, there's not much else I could say that you haven't already said or Cam hasn't already said where, you know, I like the last level of the, well, I enjoyed the last level of the game. It was wave after wave, but, you know, it was cool seeing people that I've accrued and alliances that I've made show up.
If only Mass Effect 3 could have done that.
Exactly. Exactly. So that was a nice, refreshing change of pace. You know, it was going through the epilogue. Yeah. And you know, seeing all the possibilities for the future was very disheartening because I was just like, for all of its flaws, it's still a story that I and characters that I actually grew to get engaged with, and knowing that even if there is a stone's throw in hell, that I don't know if I use that right, but whatever. even if there's a chance that we'll get a sequel to it due to something that we'll cover later, it's not going to be here for a while. So
I got words on that. We'll get to that later.
Yeah. But so that's what I played this week. DJ?
All right. Well, I played Destiny 2 Beta.
Yes.
And
what'd you think?
Well, it is...
Okay, first, before you start talking... I want you to come at it from two angles.
Okay.
As a Destiny fan who's already versed in Destiny, and then as someone coming back to Destiny after playing other games.
All right. So, as a Destiny fan, I think it is I think the story route they went is super interesting.
Uh-huh.
And, I mean, this is something that has been talked about for a while. Like, just around the story, like, we don't really know too much about the Cabal and, like, the higher command and how that stuff works. So the fact that we're getting that stuff now is great. As a person who just comes who just came back to Destiny, I feel like Destiny 2 is a lot like Destiny 1. And that is a positive and a negative. Playing the beta, it definitely
I think that's a positive and a negative for most things.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Right.
That's the ultimate sin of creating a sequel.
Exactly.
Like, you want to make it exactly like the first one. But better. Mm-hmm. But if you make it like the first one, you've not done anything new.
Exactly. And that is the real problem. Like, I thought that they were going to fix a lot of the little, like, day-to-day issues. Like, when you go from playing a level to orbit, and then you go from orbit to another level, I thought that would be worked differently. It works the exact same way. And it's a little faster, but it's still the same amount of annoying as it always has been.
Trust me, you haven't played Mass Effect Andromeda. To get to anywhere, you gotta go through three loading screens that you can't even skip.
Right.
You can't even skip.
Yeah.
See, that's a problem.
Yeah.
But, like, playing the game, again, this is a beta, so I don't want to be too judgmental over it.
Yeah, but what I've heard is this is...
There's definitely a big balance issue. They put a lot of effort into the PvP aspect of the game, and it seems like they're positioning Destiny to be more geared towards esports, just in terms of some of the decisions they made for gameplay and, like, how they are... Mm-hmm. Visualizing certain things.
These are the people who made Halo.
This is true. I mean, at the same time, I can't blame them for those choices, but it's very apparent that PvE is suffering from it. So, and it's weird because you're fighting the Cabal. They're more like tanky characters. So
big hitboxes.
Right. Essentially, they should be more bullet spongy than, like, the Hive or the Vex, which is the other
alien
enemies.
Species.
Yeah.
And the
Fallen,
yeah.
Right. So when you're shooting them, you don't feel like you're doing as much damage as you should.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, at the same time, like, you don't have, like, I think the guns they give you are blue tiered. Actually, I don't cut that. I don't physically cut that. But
okay,
pretend you didn't hear that, audience. Pretend you didn't hear that.
I'm gonna cut that.
So so, like, it's. It's hard to say, like, and they give you an exotic weapon, and
ooh,
the Titan's exotic weapon is the best exotic weapon. That thing is just, you just point it at a target, you hold the trigger, and it just keeps firing until the target is dead. Awesome. But
like most guns.
Like, yes, like most guns. You have a point.
Except the t-shirt cannon, unless you're Maude Flanders.
Look. Mm. That deep t-shirt cut. Cannon can kill people.
Like I said, deep cut.
So, I had a good time with the game. I just didn't... It just didn't grab me as much as I wanted to. And I feel like I would want to take some time to, like, really, like, talk about, like, the character class and stuff. But I just feel like this isn't the time.
Yeah, well, like, I purposely didn't play the beta because one of the things that came... very clear to me in sort of games like this is I'm going to be spending 120 hours
exactly.
in this game.
Exactly.
I don't want to have to repeat
exactly.
2 to 3 hours.
Right. Fair so enough. My, and the thing is, like, and that's the thing. That's the difference between this beta versus the original Destiny
beta. Well,
like,
especially with the original Destiny beta, it's like, this is Bungie. Is this still going to feel like Halo? I'm playing the beta so I can
right.
get the feel. And it also came at a really interesting time. It was post E3. We
right.
were very wondering whether this game was going to be
right.
good. I played it. Oh.
So with this beta, like, the amount of time you're actually playing is maybe an hour at max. And that is from start of the first mission to probably the end of a PvP match. Like, they don't give you much content at all. No, I take that back. They give you a story mission, a strike, and two PvP game modes. That total is probably like an hour and a half of content. I mean, yes, they're both replayable for hours and hours, whatever. But, like, just the grand scheme, it's probably an hour and a half of content. The again, like, the strike didn't grab me because it just felt like there was nothing different happening. It was just different enemies, but it was the same flow. You go here, you shoot these people, you go to the next point, shoot these people, go to the next point, shoot. There was like, there.
So
it's just.
So it got monotonous within the first hour?
I wouldn't even say monotonous. I just wasn't surprised at any at any point was I just like, oh, this is amazing. Like, oh, this is different. Like, there was just nothing there. But, like, at the same time, I kind of feel like maybe they're just holding that stuff back.
I feel like they have to.
Yeah. Because, like, the problem with the first Destiny beta was that they gave too much stuff out.
Yeah.
So, like,
they gave you the first entire Earth map.
Right.
Yeah.
So I just feel like it's a hard balance that they have to hit, and I don't think they hit it because I think that they should have probably given the players a little bit more. So the people who are quote unquote pro Destiny players who knows Destiny, they have something to be like, oh, this is different from Destiny 1. Like, I need to continue playing this because, like, the first 10 minutes of the game, I was very much so just like, I don't think I want Destiny 2.
Ooh.
Yeah, like it was very jarring, like how much I just wasn't vibing with the game. But then, like, I gave it some more time, just like, all right, that was just the reaction. That's another thing too. Like, this is a post Overwatch game, and this, I have so many issues with that.
They already had a harder hill to climb.
Yeah,
and they were fundamentally the king of the hill.
Yeah, and the initial problem I had with this game was the fact that Overwatch is a 60 FPS game. Destiny is a 30 FPS game. So the initial shock of playing a game and moving, you just feel a lot slower. And it's just like, I can't go back and forth between games. So that's going to be an issue for me down the line.
That's a shame, because
out
of everybody here, you were definitely the most hyped for this Destiny 2.
Yeah.
Even through the disappointment of the lack of the darkness.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. So, like, it's something that I'm just going to have to figure out. But, I mean, overall, like, it was a good beta. Like,
It's a beta.
Like, they had to test some things, and they definitely test some things. Simple as that.
Well, okay. That's a slightly dour note to move forward.
That's DG. I call him DG. Wow.
That's DG. DG has been having some
existential crisis.
Yeah, yeah. Whenever we transition away
from DG. Oh, and I also played Ratchet and Clank. I haven't beat it yet, but I'm still
loving
it. But
you're still playing it. Well, hey, there you go.
There you go.
Yeah.
Positive.
Taking it out on the high notes. Now we're just going to move forward to gaming news, and with this segment, I pass it over to you, Avery.
All right. I hope everyone heard that.
Right?
As loud as possible. Okay, so...
All right.
Okay, so this has been an interesting week. We had D23, which was Disney's big Disney fan convention. And then we immediately snowballed into Comic-Con. We are recording this the Sunday of the last day of Comic-Con.
Sunday.
There wasn't much gaming news that came out of that.
Right.
But we can talk about some stuff that came out of D23. It's especially the Kingdom 3. Wow. The Kingdom Hearts 3 to a blowout bombshell of just...
Everything.
Showcase.
Yeah.
D23 sounds like what would happen if D12 joined up with the Wu-Tang.
You know what I'm really angry? I understand it's called D23 because it has some, like, magical numbering to do with Disney lore.
Uh-huh.
But, like...
Is 23 in, like, all their movies or something?
No, it's, like... I think it's...
Studio
was founded in
1923?
I think so. Something like that. I just thought it would have been cooler if every successive convention was, like, D24, D25, D26.
Right. I'm like... Yeah. But what can you do?
Because, like, when you call it D23, they're like, well, they've done 23. They've done 23 of these?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. But no, by either grace. Yeah, Kingdom Hearts 3 had a big showcase at D23. We had that PlayStation. We got that pre-3 trailer.
Right, the orchestra trailer.
The orchestra trailer that said, hey, we're going to show you more stuff at D23.
Yeah.
And
we're still alive.
They showed us Toy Story.
Yep. Yeah, buddy.
And I was super hyped by... first of all, what they showed off has gotten me so fucking hyped for this game. It's not even fucking crazy.
Yes. Yeah.
The only thing that turned me off was that it's super jarring to hear all the Toy Story characters speaking Japanese.
I'm like, excuse me, Woody, sir, your but voice. You are not Tom Tim the Tool Man Taylor.
I have a question. Yeah. I have a question. Because we've all seen the trailer, right?
Yes.
Multiple times.
Okay. Did you have any problem with how Sora, Goofy, and Donald was visualized as
toys? No.
Yeah.
No?
Well, it's not like I had a problem with it, but yeah. I was just kind of like, I don't know why you guys look like Legos and everybody else looks like...
Right.
Well, not Legos, but I think... like they look like Bionicles.
No.
That's
I think...
Bionicles?
I think... I'd have to go back and relook at the designs. Yeah. The designs were fine when I saw them the first time. Okay. And I heard that from the backlash, like, why they look so weird compared to the traditional toys. Right. I think that's the Japanese Play Arts Kai influence in their design. Like, the Toy Story characters are traditional
toys.
Right.
Well,
right.
Like, if you look at the toy that Square Enix makes, though they're not
that's
toys.
True. That's, yeah, that's okay, fair. That's okay. Fair. Okay.
That's a good point. That's a good point. I didn't think about it. Because, like, when I saw them, I was like, I'm okay with this, but this why this choice? Well, like why didn't they push?
They could have easily gone.
They
could have
gone more action figure.
They could have gone more like felt toy with Donald,
or Goofy. Even felt toy.
Like,
yeah,
come out looking
but
like
Sora with if Sora with a felt thing, I've been like, oh, this is weird.
Yeah, but I feel like if you're going to make that step, really make that step instead of making a half step.
This is 2017. They ain't gonna have no goddamn felt toy.
But boy, let me tell you. Being Kingdom Hearts fans, this going to Disney World is nothing new.
No.
But since this is a PlayStation 4 game, good lord, it felt like I was watching a scene from a Toy Story movie.
It's one of the things that like someone did a side-by-side of the scene and Toy Story. The scene looks much better than the actual movie. So we just finally hit that level where we have Pixar graphics.
I was
there was a quote saying from before like we want games to aspire to be like Pixar level quality, we're at that point now.
I actually felt for the first time while playing one of these Kingdom Hearts. Oh, well, obviously I wasn't playing it, but like while
you were playing it
in my mind.
I know, right?
It felt like I was in a scene from a Disney movie.
Yeah.
That was crazy.
It was
to me.
Right,
and the one thing more crazier is like okay. We were in the Toy Story world. That's super cool.
Right.
And then they immediately transition to the outside world.
Yeah.
And not only does Sora no longer have to switch out party members, which was a thing I was super excited about.
Right.
When you're meeting these Disney characters. So you have a party with it's a five-man party.
Four. Because, was it Woody and Buzz?
Woody and Buzz were with him.
Okay, so five, yeah.
But there was just walking around that environment and looking how vast and big it looked. Mm-hmm. And I'm like,
it was very much an open world.
Yes.
Very much an open world.
Also, I swear to God, if Donald does not freaking heal me.
Oh, gosh.
I don't care how much you upgraded these graphics.
Right?
If that AI is not
I'm just saying, every Square game should, in its DNA,
I got
party member behavior, should just have the gambit system for Final Fantasy XII. I don't understand why
really?
Most of that thing, like, that game was designed in such a way that. If you wanted them to heal you.
Oh, okay, yeah, you can make them.
You can make their priority, like, if X equals X, heal me.
You're right.
Yeah.
Okay, no, that's a good point, yeah. The fact that you'd be able to tailor, like, this. Yeah.
I'm super stoked for this.
And then the thing that was most, well, not surprising, because I fucking called it, was they didn't put a release date, which is super smart. They put a release year, which I called, like, 5 years ago.
No, absolutely.
Yeah.
Like, putting a release date.
Actually, we had a previous podcast where we were talking about the release of these games.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Putting a release date would have been a
release date would have been dumb.
Because
then
we would have held them to it.
Right.
And then it would have been a whole...
We would have had a 15 problem. Well, remember, 15 had that really big blowout. We're like, September 20th, guys.
Yep.
I'm Greg Miller. And I'm Tim Gettys. And we're on stage telling you, September 20th. And then we're delaying it to November.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. So, like, I'm definitely happy that they finally put some kind of date on this.
Okay.
Although, it's definitely not, like...
Concrete.
Yeah.
But at least we have a year. At least we know, okay, by the fall of this year, we're playing it. I think...
By the fall of this year, we're going to figure out that there's another delay.
Yeah.
But
well, I think...
At least we're closer.
I think in their hearts, Square with release this game in March. I think it's
okay.
That done for them to muscle it out by March. I don't think that's going to happen. I think it's going to be a late summer game. Mm-hmm. Because
but I think even that's fine, though. A late summer game?
Anytime, as long as it comes down to an 18, anytime is fine.
Yeah, that's fine. Before fall. Yeah. Before fall. They have to hit before fall.
As long as it's not December 31st, 2018.
Another thing that we got in there is, in that trailer we got, I think, a better understanding of how this new weapon system works. Where some of the hammer that turned into a drill that then turned into a gauntlet. Yeah. I'm
a little confused by that.
That was the most confusing part of the trailer. I'm confused
about how that works, how it's going to flow in combat.
We're going to find out, though.
Yeah.
It looks super cool. And then another thing, we're getting gummy ships back.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I remember that.
That's going to be cool. I wonder how they're going to deal with that. Another thing they talked about is this might not have as many worlds as the other Kingdom Hearts games.
Right.
But the worlds are going to be more expansive.
Yeah.
So, like, what number is good before you get angry that not enough worlds?
I mean, seriously, it could be, eight worlds.
Eight is perfect.
Honestly, though, I'm also fine with less worlds, one, because they're going to be more expansive, and two, because I really hope that they're sticking more to giving us a coherent story.
Well, an interesting thing that we got about this trailer is that it's very clear that they're not just telling the story of Toy Story.
Yeah.
That this is post Toy Story 2 world, and you're just in. They've said it's canon. That's bullshit.
It's
not canon.
So Kingdom Hearts 3 is apparently canon with the whole Toy Story story. I don't. What? Why was that even mentioned?
I'm pretty sure that was just a mistranslation. Taking place post Toy Story 2 in its timeline, and not them saying, "Oh, it's canon." That doesn't make any sense.
Andy met these Japanese toys.
Right. Like at one point in the middle of Toy Story 2, Andy just disappeared. Yeah, it's fucking weird. What we know, there's going to be Big Hero 6. We know there's going to be Toy Story. We know there's going to be Tangled. We know there's going to be an allusion to either, I think, Traverse Town. I think it's going to show up.
Well, yeah. I don't think that's going to be considered a world. I mean, that might be more of a hub.
What other worlds do you think are going to be in this game?
Oh,
I don't want to say it.
You're going to say Frozen, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, Frozen has to be in it. That's just
they're not going to not put Frozen.
Yeah, yeah. That's just going to.
There's an ice level.
Yeah.
Okay.
Part of me feels like they might reach back and redo an old world.
Like an old deep cut?
Yeah, like...
Well, I feel like there's going to be a returning world beyond the Hercules one. Nightmare Before Christmas might stick around.
Yeah.
Because that has a really great aesthetic.
Right.
But, like, I don't think you need that and Frozen, especially if Frozen's going to be primarily ice-based level. So it's going to be weird. Because, like...
Wait, between
Kingdom Hearts
Frozen
2,
and...
Why
Nightmare Before Christmas?
Because half of Nightmare Before Christmas map, especially in Kingdom Hearts 2, became a snow map.
Yeah.
Oh, right, okay.
So they might have to back down on that and just make it, no, we're going to stay in Halloween Town.
Oh, because it's Christmas, yeah.
Yeah, what else?
Or they can, like, blend. That's too much.
I don't think anyone hoping for a Marvel world, it's never going to happen. I think Big Hero 6 is a concession.
What about Star Wars?
That's going to be interesting.
Here's my thing.
I would have loved to see Sora hang out with Avengers, but...
I don't want a Star Wars world in Kingdom Hearts, because I feel like Star Wars is too big
whole time
of a property
I feel like if we're not going to get a Marvel world, we're not going to get a Star Wars world.
I feel like we get a Star Wars world before we get a Marvel world.
Really?
I feel like
they've
got things like Clone Wars and Rebels and things like that enough that they can do something, and I just feel like
Clone Wars and stuff like that.
I would say, you remember how jarring it was for Kingdom Hearts to have a Pirates of the Caribbean world?
Yeah.
Nothing's out of the realm of imagination now.
I mean, of course, yeah. But, yeah, I mean, outside of that, I don't, I know, I'm betting on a Frozen world, and then...
I'm thinking Lilo and Stitch.
You think so?
Yes. Because I either Lilo and Stitch or Moana.
Moana definitely.
I think Moana's too recent for them to jump straight into.
I don't think so. Actually,
last year,
I agree.
I don't think they would.
I don't think that's too recent because
an entire world from scratch with this game's pedigree.
They have all of this year. Like I feel like that's within their own possibilities, and I also feel like Moana was a hit enough where they took notice to that. I mean, it's not like it's not I feel Frozen, like, but I feel like it has enough cash.
I feel like if they did Lilo and Stitch, you would get both a
I do like Lilo
Destiny, Stitch, Destiny Island beach like level, and then you could get a if they're not going to touch Star Wars, a space type of thing.
That's true. That would work. That would
plus, you get a little Polynesian inclusion in there.
Right, right.
What other worlds? Disney has such a giant catalog. The Muppets would be great.
It's never happening. It's
never happening. It's never happening. Yeah, I'm. That was. I'm super down.
Yeah.
Okay. And, except for I wasn't happy to see young Zaynhort.
Oh yeah, but, that's fucking.
You know, that's
jarring as fuck.
See, that's gonna be another problem. Like the fact that. How are they gonna like introduce the story back to people who have missed like the last six games they put out
there,
between
there,
Kingdom
there
Hearts
three,
two
I'm a three,
long
I'm
ass
a three,
prologue.
I'm a three right. I'm a three minds of that. There's one, they could in the beginning of the game do a refresher course, like Yen Sid talking to Riku, just like isn't what's going on. They could do that. Mm. Two, they could be like, Jiminy Cricket's got the entire Kingdom Hearts backlog in his book. You can read that. Or three,
or put it on the player. Exactly.
Yeah. Or three, okay. They can be like, "Fuck you guys! We release all of these games for PS4. It's on you."
Yeah, I hope they don't.
First
do that
off,
last
they
one.
Shouldn't do that last one.
Yeah,
I think they should.
But also
because you're the only one,
right? Exactly. But like, there's also a rumor that there's going to be another playable character.
It's Riku.
Riku, of course. Yeah. So.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah.
He's like the Zuko of Kingdom Hearts.
He's not that bad.
No, I mean like he's.
Oh.
Like arc-wise.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm, okay.
Okay, so in other news, we're going to keep this one short because we're not the age demographic or the audience for this.
Wait, you're not excited for this?
No, the Atari box, which Woo. I've heard nothing but jokes about. Like, yeah. The gaming press can't not, like, they're, like when people talk about the NES Classic.
So I'm going to do you a favor.
Yeah.
The next one.
Anyway, Atari. Yeah, I'm going to just keep it short. Atari released a press release a while ago. They're making a new console. They revealed it. It's this retro Atari box. The implication is it's going to play old Atari games. The actual realization is most old Atari games were garbage to beyond pond, so
yeah,
why would anyone want to go back?
Right.
And then there's this weird implication that can play modern games,
yeah,
which
why?
Is like,
so,
why are you going to jump into that arms race?
Right. So the way that the box is built.
What's in
the
box? What's in the fucking box?
Has modern ports like HDMI, like USB, for the ability to play modern games, which, like, they're missing the point. They're missing the
yep.
They're just jumping on the bandwagon thinking that Atari is going to, the brand Atari
they
is
saw
going
that,
to
they saw that. They saw that Blade Runner trailer and they're like, yeah, we're back, guys.
Right?
You see that giant logo? Oh, we're back in business.
All right.
Yeah, like, I just have to, who is this for?
Yeah,
Who is this for? My parents don't want this.
If I want to play Pong, I'll go actually play ping pong. God damn it.
I'm sure there's some sort of like web version of it that I could play.
Exactly.
Google will put it on their browser one day.
Exactly.
Okay. Other news. This is something that I put on the roundup specifically for DJ.
Mm.
The guys who made Project M, the sort of spiritual successor, not even spiritual successor, spiritual ripoff of Super Smash Bros. Melee.
There you go.
Finally got their shit together and said, we're going to actually try and make money with all this talent that we've been cultivating.
Right.
And so they decided to make their own game. Mm. It's called Icons Battlegrounds. It is a very blatant Smash Brothers Melee clone.
Wait. You're telling... How?
It looks exactly like Super Smash Bros. Most of the character actions and movements are clearly just Smash Brothers character moves.
There was a Fox, there was a Captain Falcon. Zero Suit... Marth, Zero Suit Samus.
Yeah. I'm two trains of thought. I can see the two trains of thought here.
Choo-choo.
Because it's blatant, it works in its favor. But also because it's blatant, it's extremely distracting. Like,
right.
I think that if you're really into it, this will only play to make you want to play it
well,
more.
Well, my issue with this is that one of the reasons Smash keeps selling so well, beyond it just being a fun game, is the Nintendo nostalgia.
Yep.
It has that cachet. Like, I jump into it. I play as Link. Now, I started playing as Link not because, Link is the best in the meta. No, I started playing as Link because I'm a giant Link fan.
Exactly.
I quickly found, this is
right.
fun.
So I think when it comes to that, there are two avenues to, we'll say, Melee, because Melee was the best Smash Brothers game. It's there's the people...
For Wii U! I'm sorry, did I cough? For Wii U!
There are people who played Melee at the time because it was Nintendo, and there's people who played Melee at the time because it was a really good, like, fighter.
Right.
So,
but he's only an accidental good fighter.
What? What? anyways. So I think they are going towards that niche who respected Melee for what it did, and I feel like the fact that they made it so blatantly a Smash Brothers clone,
right,
is a positive,
right?
Because that was the same critique that everyone made towards PlayStation All Stars.
PlayStation All Stars didn't go far enough.
It didn't.
Well, that's the thing. Well, I feel like this is going far enough.
But then the problem is that PlayStation All Stars has the cachet of I can play as Dante.
Exactly.
Right. That game did not do well.
Of course. But exactly. What I'm saying is like, I can see both sides. Like, when I saw that trailer, I was like, I don't want to play as freaking Ram, not Fox Boy. Like, this just makes me want to play Smash Brothers. Right, I don't want to play this. So I get what you're, like, it could go either way, really.
My thing is, I think it was
free to play.
Exactly. So that was
free to play on Steam.
Right. No. So I think it was action. I mean, that's the only market they can really go for. So I think that was the action strategy to make this game free to play. That way, people don't have any real, like, if they...
The press will come out and say, oh man, this game that we all wrote off because it was a Smash Bros. Clone is actually really cool, guys.
Good. Right, right. And the fact that you have the choice to, like, while playing Steam, you can use, like, a PlayStation controller, you can use an Xbox controller, like, whatever.
Can you use a GameCube controller? That's all that matters.
And I don't think Nintendo will allow that.
And that's the problem, because, like...
But, I mean, see, and that's the thing, like, the fact that they are moving away from Nintendo with this game, like... They're also pushing that audience with them because they're a really respectable game company.
But my issue and why I have not real faith in this, I think it's going to do pretty good, is that, pretty good is relative. It's not going to be the highest selling. It's not going to beat Super Smash Bros. 4 Wii U.
Right.
But the problem I have with it is, this feels like a game marketed entirely for the Melee crowd.
Exactly.
But in regards to Super Smash Brothers, the Smash Brothers crowd has moved on with Nintendo. There's a solid holdout for Melee.
Right, right, right.
But like, if for me, you sell this game to me as it's another story. You sell this game to me as the successor to Melee, and I'm like, I don't want no part of this.
Right. So
it's lost me beyond the Steam stuff. Right.
So I think what they're doing is that yes, the Smash Brothers crowd has moved on past Melee. But the fact that this is free to play means that the pepper in the salt field who love Melee can just be like, oh, let me try this game out for a little bit and see what it's about.
But I feel like the people who love Melee are fighting game fans, and the fighting game community is very insular.
Yes. Yes.
Last thing I will say, though, is based off of the way that the internet works, especially the Tumblr community, I feel like if this game hits a certain strike, I know there's going to be like fandoms for these made up characters. Mm. I could see it.
Especially with
the interesting kind of designs that they want.
It feels like if you look at the logo, it feels like they saw Overwatch and said, we need to try something like this.
Yep. And this game is a very like character driven game in terms of like the sex of the characters and like, just see how they were presented.
Yeah.
It seems like it's almost
you
like...
You guys trying to play as a pansexual alien?
Right. It's like a hero brawler, basically.
What does it have to do with his fighting style? Nothing.
Okay, so another big thing, and this is why I'm really angry that Cameron isn't here.
Yeah.
He's out there helping the poor. Sure God is. Okay.
He's being a good person.
Aaron Flynn, who was the general manager of BioWare, I'm pretty sure that's just their production lead, the guy in charge of all the creative decisions, has left the studio.
He gone.
And he has been replaced with Casey Hudson, the creative director behind the Mass Effect franchise.
Yep. He's back.
Now,
with a new pair of shoes.
Now, here's why I want to bring this up. The scuttlebutt about this was like, Mass Effect has saved everyone. Don't worry. And I'm like, anyone who still believes that we're getting another Mass Effect game in 5 years is still sipping the goddamn Kool-Aid.
Yeah.
I wouldn't go as far to say that Mass Effect is saved, but it's got a better chance now than it did, you know, before Casey came back. I'm not saying that it's going to come back within the next 5 years, especially because they've got Anthem, they've got a new Dragon Age.
And that's why I'm of the mindset, and I can easily be proven wrong, that Mass Effect as a franchise is dead. It's just dead. We all have to move on and deal with it. Anthem is going to fill and absorb the same space that Mass Effect just sat in as a sci-fi action shooter game.
It's Destiny.
I don't think that's the case because I feel like you might be giving Anthem too much credit.
Well, I have to give it credit because if it doesn't have that credit, then I have no interest in it.
Well, okay, like I'll say this, say this much. But
if it doesn't have the BioWare sheen, then like I don't see anything interesting about this game.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing, though. I think that that's probably the reason. Until we see more, I don't think that this is going to be the game that takes over Mass Effect.
But what I'm saying is, they have this, they have Dragon Age, they still have their Star Wars game. I don't think BioWare has the manpower to... Because if this is going to be a living game, which we assume it's going to be, that team is going to stick on that.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
That team is not going to move... Because the Mass Effect 3 team went on to make Anthem.
Yeah.
So that team's not going to leave that game.
Well, like I said, I don't think it's dead. But I definitely think that with Casey back and his pedigree with Mass Effect, if they decided, hey, it's time... I would have more faith going forward that this next Mass Effect game would be fine.
But here's the thing. He's not creative director. He wouldn't be making the game. He's just general manager. He's not sitting there like, I'm going to get my hands dirty and make this game.
Right.
He's just telling the people, hey, we're making this game.
Well, even still, though, like,
It seems like this was put out there for positive PR for BioWare. Of course.
No, I feel like... There is no, like, a lot of people were speculating that, oh, Aaron Flynn had to leave because of how bad Andromeda was. I'm like, no.
No, it's not.
This is just Aaron Flynn being like, I've been making fucking video games for, like, 15 years of BioWare. Yeah, I'm like,
I need a career choice.
I need a switch. And, like, oh, who? Casey's willing to come back? Fine. Then BioWare is in good hands.
Well, it's just, it might be naive, but I just would like to believe that even though he's not going to be getting in the nitty gritty, it's... his pedigree, and then his history with Mass Effect, where even if he's not going to be out there making the game, he would make the right decisions to make sure that
right.
we're not going to have this Andromeda thing happen again.
Right.
You know, because I've been with this thing. This was sort of my baby for a little bit. But we won't know, because like I said, it's not going to happen for another... If anything happens, it's not going to happen for another, like, 5 years anyway.
I still think anyone saying 5 years is still crazy.
Really?
Because I think Anthem is a game we're going to see in 2 years. I think after that, we're going to see Dragon Age and maybe a year or 2 years after that. And then if they're – and I'm just saying, if I was BioWare –
You think they would – well, I guess they haven't really shown anything about Dragon Age.
No, they're still in pre-production.
No, yeah. They're still writing it.
I don't even think they've even started making the game.
Yeah, they're still writing it and putting things
together. So is that the same team that is... There's a Dragon Age team, right?
I think...
What have they been doing in the...
I think they've all been, like, BioWare sub-studios working on Anthem.
All I'm saying is... If the only thing that I gotta look forward to for BioWare for the foreseeable future is Dragon Age, that's gonna make me really sad.
Yeah.
Because okay, I have...
I gotta clarify something. I don't hate Mass Effect. Cam's put it out there.
I know.
I'm putting it out there here. Oh. Cam put it out that I hate Mass Effect. I don't hate Mass Effect. Mass Effect 2 is one of the best games ever made. However, I've moved on.
Mm, yeah.
Like, when they did the trilogy and it was over, I'm done. I don't need any more Mass Effect. I'll play another one if it comes out. But, like, I'm no longer... Like, Mass Effect's no longer gonna, like, set the world on fire, make me the most exciting thing in the world. Right. I played Andromeda. It was a piece of... No, it wasn't garbage. I didn't enjoy the game.
Yeah.
It's a great game.
For me, as a former fan of BioWare, who loved games like Jade Empire, who loves KOTOR, loves all those things that they've done, for me to get back the cachet, they need to go forward and not back. If they went back, that feels like an EA, Mass Effect still has money situation.
Right.
And, like, I don't think EA... If I was EA, I would not look at what happened with Andromeda and been like,
right,
we need to go back to the well.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm not saying they have to.
Yeah.
It's just that, you know, right now... The only thing I got is Dragon Age, and then because Anthem, like I said, doesn't tick any of my boxes, and then so they would have to make
tick any of your boxes yet.
Yeah, exactly.
So my thing with Anthem, I feel like usually you want to lead with what you feel like is going to be the strongest aspect of your game,
and they led
especially for a trailer.
Yes, and they led with the shared world multiplayer.
Right. So I'm actually
in
very
a time where
I'm very
everybody's
hesitant
doing that.
That Anthem is going to be the game that people think it's going to be.
And that's we're getting more into why I fucking hated the Anthem reveal and why, yeah, I kind of want – another reason Cam's probably been here to say his two cents about why he loved it.
Right.
But for me, I'm with you exactly.
Right.
For this game to live and breathe is something that I support and buy.
As a BioWare game.
As a BioWare game, as all the bullshit I've had to go through with them, yeah. Dragon Age 2 being garbage. Yeah, I'll say it. It's a bad game. It's a bad game. Great characters. Bad game. Mass Effect 3 not having a great ending. Very disappointing ending to an amazing game, but one I just didn't believe in based on the hyperbole that Casey Hudson himself was saying part of that game coming out.
Yeah.
And then after the disappointment of Andromeda, if this isn't a true dyed-in-the-wool BioWare game, then it's like, why?
Right. Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because shared world is sexy, that's why.
Mm-hmm. Can make money.
This is going to be a weird transition, but stick with me now.
Okay.
Had Telltale made Mass Effect Andromeda, mm-hmm, I probably would have enjoyed it.
Really?
Because it wouldn't have had the gameplay, oh, and it would have been over in a day. The engine still would have sucked, yeah, but it would have been over in a day.
And none of us would have been like, oh yeah, this game is broken, but it's Telltale.
Right, right.
So yeah, another big thing that surprised a bunch, well, not surprised, because this is Telltale. They just keep making games.
Wasn't surprised at all, because I don't play Telltale games.
Well,
there ain't no gameplay in that game.
There was two expectations and one surprise. Because, for those that don't know, there's going to be the final season of The Walking Dead, which, whoa, that I'm surprised about, because...
So when they say final, they mean no more?
No more. Or at least, if anything, no more Clementine. But definitely, okay, yeah.
I believe that they're done.
But it might
they're
be
done. I think they have enough other IPs, and then they're, yeah, trying, exactly, to start their own original thing.
So they don't,
that they don't need The Walking Dead to be their flagship cachet.
Got it.
And, yeah, even that, based on everything I've heard about season 3, has waned heavily.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's I disagree, but I know what you mean. And then they've got season 2 of Batman, and then finally season 2 of The Wolf Among Us. And the reason that one's a surprise is because The Wolf Among Us was always the more underrated.
It was
of the all
thing
the
they did immediately after Walking Dead became, yeah, a big thing, and like it was what got me into Telltale. Like, I'm not a Walking Dead fan.
Mm.
I've read the comics, but I find the actual story beyond Kirkman's writing ability, which is phenomenal. He's a great writer. It's just from a story scripting, this plotting standpoint, it's very repetitive.
But Lee.
No, I'm talking about my relationship to Walking Dead.
Yeah, I know.
And so, like, it just never grabbed me. The story is really great, and I super enjoyed it, but I'm like, oh, I don't want this at all.
But The Wolf Among Us was more of a cult-following type game.
I also really love fucking Fables,
mm-hmm,
which, in my opinion, Bigby Wolf is a better version of Wolverine than I've been reading for the last 20 years of my life.
Really?
Yeah. So I was super into that, super into the story. Felt in the Fables world without feeling like it's disrupting anything.
And it ticked my box because it was drenched in neon. But it, so we weren't expecting to get some sort of a second season anytime soon, because they just kept going forward with, you know, all these other IPs and no kind of inkling of a Wolf Among Us season 2.
Wolf.
So, yeah, so there's going to be those three. There was those three announcements, and
well, you didn't listen to the announcement. It's Wolf Among Us, Walking Dead Final Season, and Batman: The Enemy Within.
Yeah, and basically, you know, the Batman one is coming out, or the first episode's coming out this year in August, and then the other two are going to be 2018.
Didn't the last one end this year? Or I could be wrong.
Did? No. I
know I played it this year. I think that's
yeah,
right.
I think I played it this year. I think it ended last year. Yeah. Yeah. Like the tail end of last year.
Because I don't play a Telltale game until it's done.
That's understandable. That's totally understandable. I'm a glutton for punishment.
Yeah. Well, my thing is, I'm super excited for Wolf Among Us.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm interested in what they can do now, because Fables, the book, is done.
Mm-hmm.
So they can fundamentally actually just go forward and tell a fable story that has real weight and consequence. A story in which something can actually happen, well, to these characters. So I'm super into that. Walking Dead, whatever. I didn't play season 2 or season 3. I know just through cursory information what happened to them. Mm-hmm. Batman: Enemy Within is going to be interesting, mm-hmm, because I'm of the mindset that they told a good Batman story, not an amazing Batman story. Mm-hmm. So I'm super interested in what they can do going forward with the decisions you've made and things like that.
How that turn out?
my big question with this, and like this is just anytime people get into a conversation with about Telltale Games, is are they gonna fix this goddamn engine?
Nope.
But from my side of things, as someone who is a fan of Telltale, I'm excited for the final season of Walking Dead because I've played all the seasons. I've grown to love Clementine, and so I'm glad that we're going to get a chance to see her story play out. I'm excited for the Batman one just because that was actually, as someone who's not super invested in the Batman character, that was one of the better Batman stories that I've seen played out. Just, it was really engaging with the way that they put fresh takes or different takes on these characters to make it seem interesting. Or feel more interesting. And then Wolf Among Us, I mean, it's one of my favorite of the Telltales. And so
it's my number just the two. Fact that beyond,
we're going back.
Yeah,
it's Tales of Borderlands.
Yeah. Fucking Tales. So fucking good, guys. Everyone should play Tales of the Borderlands. Like, you don't have to be a Borderlands fan to play that game.
Yeah, it's extremely. I'm not a Borderlands fan, but like that game is extremely fun.
I need to try it. I need to try that.
I'll let you borrow Tales.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because Tales also has the most interesting of the Telltale engines.
Yeah.
Because it tries to actually be a Borderlands game at the same time.
Mm.
So, like, you can pick up money and cash and things like that. There's a system like that underneath the Telltale choices.
Yeah.
And the game is so... It's such a joke. Like, the way that they approach everything...
It has fun with itself.
Exactly.
It feels like the Guardians of the Galaxy of the Telltale universe.
Really?
Yeah. Of, like, franchises beyond before the fact that they're making a Telltale...
Yeah.
The Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Okay.
Cool. But, yeah, so that's it for gaming news. So we're just going to go into another rousing game.
Dun, 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 dun.
Of Who Am I?
Who am I?
Woo!
Starring Jackie Chan.
Who am I?
All right. So... As you know, Who Am I is a game that we started last podcast.
Yeah.
Where I will read off 8 clues, and you guys will try to guess, who am I?
Okay.
Are you guys ready?
Yeah.
Yes, I am.
So Cam is not here, so he already knows exactly who I am.
Yes, he is.
Okay, well, he's here then.
He's been here the entire time.
All right. Are you guys ready?
Yes.
Get set.
Okay.
Who am I? Okay. All right. Hint 1. I am a protector of my people.
Aloy?
God.
I don't understand.
Alright. Avery's not playing anymore.
You've been disqualified from the game.
Doesn't matter. I'm the franchise, baby. Number one. Franchise.
We're going to ban you like Meta Knight.
Well, guys, that's been our podcast for today.
Jesus Christ.
Jeez, man.
What were the other clues?
Okay. I'm a protector of my people.
My dumbass is about to say Chala. Like, Black Panther? Wait a minute. He's not a video game character yet.
I was born to fight.
Uh-huh.
I'm the chosen one.
Sorry, not sorry.
I've never had a burger.
What?
Technically, she's never had a burger.
That's a dumb clue. That's a terrible clue.
I try to make these hard because Avery's over here killing it.
Yeah, the first one's supposed to go hard, not the middle one.
I'm from the future. I'm skilled with a bow.
Uh-huh.
I'm an excellent trapper.
Mm.
And robots have taken over my land.
Is she a trap rapper? I listen to that Aloy's mixtape.
I need to work on these because...
Good God.
Damn it, Avery.
I mean, honestly, even if you work on them, there's a good possibility that you just might get them because it's freaking Avery.
So we might be changing this up a little bit.
Maybe I should be the one giving out the clue.
Maybe. Hold on. Actually... Yeah,
okay. Yeah, that's a good idea. Because
then we can actually have a game. Like, God, Jesus.
All right, guys.
That's like playing wrestling trivia with me.
My championship belt's coming in the mail. I'm aware of every podcast. All right,
so this has been our podcast for today.
Yeah.
Thank you for joining us. If you like what you heard today, subscribe to our podcast and leave a comment below. We would love to hear from you. Like, really, we would. Like, we really appreciate all the comments and critiques and just reaching out and just saying hi to us.
Any feedback is good feedback.
Right. And where to do that would be press X to start. Oh, jeez. Press X to start podcast at gmail.com. If you want to submit a topic or question for the show, follow us on Twitter at press X the number 2S. Like our Facebook page at Press X to Start. And that is the number 2. And like our new Instagram page at Press X, the number 2, Start.
There's actually stuff on there, guys.
Yeah.
And DJ has linked it somehow with his account, so he puts up stories every now and then.
Ah, you know.
You know, him playing Munchkins with his married friends and, you know, doing married stuff.
I'm going to have a little game night here, and we're going to play Munchkins.
Ooh.
And it's going to be lit.
Bet. All right. Let's do it.
All right.
Because we need to go through your entire liquor cabinet.
I need to get rid of that stuff. It's just taking up space. All right.
Excuse you. Get rid of?
Well, you guys
drink. Are the trigger.
All right. Well, that's been our podcast for today. I hope you guys enjoyed as much as we did.
Yeah.
Hope you got to laugh just a little bit.
It was a quicken.
Quicken. Yes. And as we end this,
all right.
Be good to yourselves.
Yes.
And be good to your other peoples.
Yes.
Your other peoples.
Wow. I'm just really proud of myself for ruining this day. Like, you understand how my heart of hearts, I'm like, I'm just going to throw out Aloy.
All right.
You would be proud of yourself for being OP.
And it's only, I've only got one thing.
All right.
Don't take this away from me. Go home to your girlfriend and wife. All right.
Okay, fair enough. Okay, all right.
All right.
Well, I've been Marcus Ellison.
I've been Avery Williams.
And I've been DJ for the rest of my life.
All of our PSN stuff and everything will be in the
show notes. It will be in the show notes this time.
Yeah. Awesome.
All right. Peace.
Peace.